I thought his phone was ringing, but it was his ankle monitor.
Oh.
Ain't no fucking way.
Ain't no fucking way.
Ain't no fucking way. So what is up, guys? Welcome back to Gin and Toxic.
We're not alone this week.
We're not alone. We finally have another guest. Welcome, Tiff. Tiff Barra. Is that how you say your last name?
Yeah, Barra, Barra.
Barra, Barra.
Bear.
Slay.
Bear. Miss Tiff here. She is a dating coach nicknamed the Manhattan Dating Tour Guide. You guys have probably seen her on TikTok before.
If you live in New York, you've seen her on TikTok.
Yeah, you've absolutely seen her on TikTok telling you where to go find the sugar daddies, the rich eligible bachelors. You already know. So we're super hyped to have you on the show today.
Especially because you have a Shrek shirt on.
Yeah. Like, yeah. This
please
is
take a moment.
Absolutely.
Shrek.
No, 100%. But yeah, hyped to have her on the show. We just did a little kiki before we started recording.
Quite the kiki. We always overdo it with the kiki.
Yeah, absolutely. We're just talkative people. Why do you think we have a podcast? So, you know, but yeah, and I feel like that just like really set the tone. Like, we're just pumped. Like,
no, I'm so happy to be here, bitch. Like, let's fucking go. Into it.
Yeah,
like,
great.
We're two iced coffees down.
Yeah,
like, yeah, we're like ready to go.
We be chugging iced coffees this morning. Yeah. Okay, like we are ready to go. But obviously, start off the show as we always do. Toxic thing of the week.
We'll let Tiff kick it off.
Yeah,
we're
gonna let Tiff kick it off. We prepped her. We
this girl's
her
got
spiel.
Stories, so I don't know. I'm ready for this.
I'm ready. What is it?
So I owe my college $7,000.
Right.
and I
graduated a while ago.
I graduated a long time ago.
Perfect.
But like to me, I just like. I don't know, but like it doesn't feel right.
It doesn't feel like
the education wasn't good enough because of one thing. I never slept with a professor.
That's fair.
I didn't get the full experience.
I literally like graduated Rockefeller Center. Like I walked, I wore the cape, I did the whole thing. But they are holding on to the degree. So I said, okay, like if I can't actually have my diploma hanging up on the wall, what's the second best thing? Let me go on a date with my old professor.
No.
So this week I went on a date with a PhD daddy. And
no fucking way.
Yeah,
how was like, that date?
It was good. Like I definitely feel like I left more educated.
Period. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Wait, there's a lot to unpack here. Yeah. Because first of all, outside of the dating, they're not giving you your degree?
It just never came in the mail, so I don't know if it got lost. Or,
oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure.
It's probably because of the money.
So they asked me to come to a talk, and I actually said, yeah, for $7,000.
No
fucking way. I swear to
God,
off the rest of my loans,
I'm like,
I'll do
I'm
it.
Not going to go. I already, like, I mean, I got a scholarship. Like, I studied philosophy because all the professors were hot. Like, I swear to God, it's truly like
all the daddies were like in that department.
Yeah,
so
that's where I gravitated.
I could see that.
I originally had like entertainment business for like 2 years, and I was like, no, not hot enough.
Definitely not hot enough.
That was a king, and like he's like talking about like Aristotle, and like I fell head over heels.
You're like, babe, I have no idea what you're fucking talking about, but I'm obsessed with you.
And like existentialism, daddy. But I would go to his office hours, and we ended up like becoming good friends. Like, I wish him the best. Like, he was fabulous.
I also
like,
wish him a little more than that.
Yeah, like, if he ever hears this, like, this is not...
Oh, so that's not the one you went on a date with?
No,
okay.
No. This was more of just like someone that I always thought was hot, but I would run into him at the techno clubs at Bossa Nova while...
Right, as you do.
He loved ketamine. Ketamine king.
I can so see the professor like having a secret like techno ketamine underground.
I mean, no.
Yeah.
If you're a philosophy professor, like you're not like, you know, in the library. Like,
no.
You know? I mean, to know philosophy, you have to live your life.
You're out
right?
there with the people.
You're out with the people.
Yeah. Usually I always like, I see, you know, TikTok obviously as like opened way for everybody to post things, and I get like these like teachers that like post like normal TikToks or like make fun of their like students,
yeah,
or, like tell crazy stories, and I just like try to think back and I'm like, I wonder if any of my teachers, professors were like this. Like they definitely were, but like there was no platform for
yeah.
them.
Yeah. I was on teacher TikTok like, for a while.
It yeah. Got y'all remember like Rate My Professor?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, like honestly, yeah. I felt like I really wanted to leave a review after our date. Yeah.
There, you know what?
Good
there
professor, like, better date.
Yeah. There were some professors. It was either like I felt so strongly about a professor that like I loved them or I hated them that like I needed to write the review. So like I remember my publicity professor, I wrote a review about her because like I loved her. And then I also wrote a review about our fashion journalism professor. That's where me and Lily met in a fashion journalism class. She was the worst.
You know, it's bad if you're writing a fucking review.
Yeah. The thing. We talked about this last week on the show, maybe that it's easier or no, I think with Cody, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's easier to hate than it is to love. And it's easier to share a bond over someone you hate than someone you both like you. And
I'm not surprised
liked.
When we became friends, it was over yeah. someone we hated.
Yeah. Our teacher. Shocker.
Our like, bond is like either sharing an ex or like, yeah, yeah. Like hate fucking someone.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
No,
there
literally.
Was no hot professors at FIT. I'll tell you that. That's for
was
damn
there
sure.
Really not. No, I no. guess there wasn't. No.
I knew someone from FIT.
That a professor?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah, huh. I wonder who.
He styled me.
You're kidding.
Stop.
Oh my God. We'll have to get his name after him.
Do like NYU Google. Has the daddy professors, maybe.
They do.
Yeah, because also there's yeah. like the rich daddy professors.
Yeah, give me
like,
that.
You know, like this guy I found out that like after the date, like if you're but like becoming an educator, like some of them like are really passionate about school, but like I don't know if y'all watched like You.
Yeah.
Like, oh, like I, some yeah. professors are really just like rich kids that yeah. like just want to like
yeah.
read.
They're doing it for their kids. Yeah.
No, exactly. FIT is most of the professors there are like not even people who are educated. Or not
no, they're adjunct.
not educated. Sorry. They're people who are not like you know, they're not
meant to be teachers.
Why am they're I? People, yeah, they're not meant
they're
to be adjunct, teachers.
So they're people that work in advertising 9 to 5, but they have one free day a week that they come into FIT and teach
and
a class.
And just like teach some stuff.
They're
yeah.
not qualified to be teachers like
yeah.
at all.
Yeah. Just, like, I so I think I mentioned this to you before too. My publicity professor who I loved, she was like the like VP of marketing or something at Mountain Dew. And she, it was at the time where Mountain Dew was working with Kevin Hart, and she would come into class like 20, 30 minutes late all the time. I'd be like, sorry, I was on set with Kevin. Like, and
college
we were
professors
like,
are just like a like, bit in themselves.
Yeah, like, no. Like, especially schools, New York City schools too, you just don't know who you're going to get. So, okay, so this guy that you went on the date with, how did it go?
Yeah, how
like
did that
what?
End?
Like how did that play out?
Is there a second date?
Yeah, Tuesday.
Really?
No. Oh my God! Amazing.
So I have this technique. Like on the date, he was saying, "Like Tiffany, I've always like loved how you're kind of rude," and I'm like, "I'm like
so true."
I'm like to men, I might not be a bitch all the time, but I will be bitch adjacent. Like,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the whole,
I that get was, that.
Like so, I don't think it's bitchy to like not. Like give my energy until you deserve it. So like yeah. that's truly yeah. how I navigate dating because I do, you know, I wasn't an econ major, but I do believe in opportunity cost. So it's
yeah.
like,
okay.
Like you have to view your time as opportunity cost. So if I'm waking up saying good morning to this man that's treating me like Boo Boo the Clown, that like is literally like not giving me what I deserve and waiting for him to call me or waiting for him to text me, it's wasting my life over someone that doesn't, I don't even know that well.
Yeah.
So like first date, second date, third date, 100th date, if that ever happens. It's like, I'm letting them do most of the work.
That's very smart.
Yeah.
Because why waste my energy and time when like, I have a job.
Sorry, I forgot the term I bring her
yeah.
off.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of energy dating. It
yeah.
really is.
So I think the biggest thing is that like a lot of my clients and even myself back in the day got invested too early in
totally.
Relationships and became yeah. like super clingy or like the mother to that. Like I wanted yeah. like I wanted them to know how much I cared about them.
Yeah, you have these expectations
my
already.
My dating life hasn't been better since I stopped giving a fuck.
Yeah.
Like because like now I have so many things that bring me joy that dating isn't all my priorities.
Yeah.
Like it's like, okay, he doesn't text me back. Let me just go to an event. Like,
yeah,
let me like,
go do something.
Let me
else,
like
yeah.
go hang out with my friends. Let me go flirt with someone hotter than him. Like,
yeah.
you know, so
yeah.
he was like, that was a big turn on for me because he would text me because we knew each other a long time ago.
Okay.
And, you know, of course, like, and he kind of like was flirting, but like never, like we never,
it never escalated.
Yeah. So even when we like reconnected, I kind of had that energy that like, you know, he's not gonna do anything. So
yeah, you're like, were you like, I gotta put the foot first and like try and get the wheels rolling?
So he like saw my TikToks. Like that's how this started again.
Okay.
So he was like, he texted me and I like didn't respond. He's like, oh, do you not need me anymore? And I was like,
I don't need your period.
I said, but, I never needed you, yeah, but I'll let you plan a date and take me out. And
okay.
So
that's
said,
hot.
And this is the hottest thing you can do. And I think this is what I always do. If they don't make a fucking reservation, there's no date. I'm not showing up.
Like,
you plan it. Because I also, it's another test I do. I get them to plan the restaurant just to see their taste. Because like, if he's like, going to Applebee's.
I saw a video you posted recently saying that. And I was like, genius.
You have to see. Because like, he could be a great guy. If you don't share the same restaurant taste, it's not going to happen.
Like, wow. Okay. Yeah.
Like, what type of place great are you philosophy. Taking me to?
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, are you like, oh,
is
let's
romantic,
go.
Romantic? Or is it so casual? Like,
exactly.
And I think like, that's the mentality that actually makes people so successful at dating, when you don't have to prove and you let them like work for you or prove to you. Number one, you get better insight on who they are, what they like, and like you get to know them and not the fantasy that you already made of them.
Yeah.
So it's like, if we don't have like certain alignments, I know we were talking about like right now I'm probably not going to date someone that like doesn't want to get married.
Yeah.
Do I want to get married tomorrow? Maybe. Like, let's go to the Plaza, bitch. Like, I want the wedding, not the man. But but like, I think first dates are actually the most important times to like see people for who they are. And I always say, listen to what they're saying. Yeah. Like, I went on a date with this guy from, he worked at Bank of America. What a freak show.
Yeah. Red flag number
most of them are. Yeah. I fucked around with a lot of Citibank men in my past.
No.
So I get that.
Thanks.
I do. I fuck with a Morgan Stanley daddy, though.
You know what? I feel that. The Citibank men have always let me down. One of them was, like, just definitely not ready for a relationship. The other one catfished me. That was the whole thing. But anyways, catfish, you remember him? Worked at Citibank.
We love, love Citibank. Get catfished and a checkings account. But, you know, I think like when I went on date, we went to Jackson Bond like 2 weeks ago. He asked me out and he kept being like, you know, I'm crazy. I'm like the Chuck Bass of like, of New York. I'm like, number one, like you could never, you're not hot enough. And like, he's like, I grew up on the Upper East Side and like I'm misunderstood. I'm fucking crazy. And I'm like, all right.
If I was on a date with a guy and he said he was misunderstood, I would leave immediately. Like, that would be my, I would laugh in his face.
Like, go sing a Radiohead cover and get out of my fucking face. Yeah. Like, I cannot.
That like gives me.
How crazy are you? You work at Bank of America, babe.
Right. Like, that's giving me like Cole Sprouse energy. Yeah. Like, you know, all that, like, he's been getting like flamed for Caller Daddy, where he's like, most people join the arts because we're fucking weird or whatever
like,
the fuck
you were
he said.
Seven like, when you went on
you
Disney
were on Sweet Life of Zach and Cody.
Cody, like,
okay?
Shut the fuck up. You're not.
You
like,
don't belong to the street.
It's that energy. Oh my God, that's so funny.
Yeah.
No, but like, listen to what people say. So like, he was saying he's crazy. I'm like, okay, I don't want to date someone that's crazy. Like, I've already dated all the bad boys, the broke boys with the mattress on
like,
the ground.
Was he trying to impress you by saying that? Like, what the
Some insecure guys like to think that like we're attracted to guys that are shitty or treat us bad.
Yeah.
But to me, like, yeah, that was hot like back in the day when I had no confidence or self-esteem.
Yeah,
but,
when I was 17.
Yeah, like when I was 17 and like listened to Lana Del Rey all the time.
Right.
Now, I don't want to like be on the back of a guy's motorcycle and he like cheats on me, but it's love and romantic. Like, it's not Norman
not the
fucking
vibe.
Rockwell, the album. Okay, I'm 26.
Yeah,
right?
It's no longer the vibe.
And it's one of those things, like when you start to like respect yourself and give yourself the love that you want, that shit is such an ick.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
When people are like trying to like glamorize being mistreated, fuck no.
Oh my gosh, that's what my life coach, I see a life coach, and she taught me like one time too, like you need to like learn that like the things that men do that make you like anxiety ridden or make you like upset or whatever, you need to, instead of being like, oh my God, like he might be flirting with another girl, like this is like I'm freaking out, blah blah blah, be like, that's embarrassing for you, like that's weird, like that's an ick, like that's turning me off, rather than being like freaking out about
letting
it,
it make
that makes
you
sense.
Get worried.
Yeah, like, exactly. No. Be like, I like don't deserve that, like that's embarrassing for you, and that's an ick for me. So like you view it more like, you know, be in your power, obviously.
It's exactly, it's like choosing, not proving.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of times when we grow up, we're told that as a girl, you have to prove your worth to someone. Like, mm-hmm. he's a playboy. He can do whatever he wants, and it's our job to show that we are deserving of his love, right?
Totally.
Like, this is why I hate the whole high value man bullshit, because you see all this on TikTok. To get a high value man, lose your personality in 50 yeah. pounds. Like, yeah. Like, shut the fuck up. Yeah. Like, instead of like building, I think like we should really be encouraging each other to build our best versions of ourselves to attract the yeah. best version of the person for us.
Yeah.
You know, I think like I spent so much time feeling like I wasn't good enough to get certain types of guys that are good looking or rich and all this mm-hmm. stuff. And like, you know, in a way, like Cher was right when she was like, I am the rich man.
Yeah.
And, like,
I have, oh my gosh.
I have a
shirt that I wear all the time that literally says, Mom, I am a rich man. I actually made a joke about it on my Instagram story like 2 weeks ago because I was in Europe with my boyfriend and he was paying for everything, every single Daddy. Dinner, everything. Yeah. No, like I did not spend a dime, and I posted an Instagram story and I was like, me wearing my Mom, I Am a Rich Man crew neck while my boyfriend, like, where I haven't even picked everything. Up my fucking wallet.
I mean, that's yeah. hot. No, and I think, like, one thing is, yeah. like, also when it comes to, like, being like, Mom, I am the rich man, it's that mentality.
I was just, yes. like, it's all yeah. about the I'm mentality. Hot. It's yeah.
like, once you know that, like, you are a Lamborghini, you're not going to let someone convince you that you're like a
yeah.
Toyota Camry.
It's like, I'm it's like, yeah, the whole thing is like, listen, like, I'm a successful person. Could I pay for everything while I was on that trip? Yeah, absolutely. I could take myself out. I could do whatever the fuck I want. But I'm with this guy that treats me amazing. And he, like, you know, I know my worth. So I'm going to let him do it.
And like, I think, like, the biggest thing here, too, TikTok, like, dating coaches and all this stuff, they create these universals. Like, women do this or men do this, yeah. da 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 da. But no, we're all individuals. And we all have.
That yeah. was our last episode.
I was just saying, our last episode that we uploaded was literally, like, titled, like, how TikTok changes our perception of dating or something. And it was literally because I like texted Lily and I was like, I think we really got to talk about this on the show because it has been these TikTok, like,
these standards that don't apply to everyone.
Yeah, like the TikTok, like, people that come on and are saying, you know, like I said, we're not going to go over it in this because we did a whole episode on it. But like, you know, the girls that are going on TikTok and they're like, if your boyfriend doesn't buy you flowers every single week, like, he hates you, you need to break up with yeah. him, blah 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 blah. Oh. And it's like,
I know, yeah, it's like,
no, Jesus. It drives me insane because I'm like, it makes the girls that are in these happy, perfect, healthy relationships that they are very satisfied with question their relationships and create issues that aren't even there.
The biggest thing, like, that I say as a dating coach is like, I can't tell you what to do. I don't yeah. know your relationship. I'm not holier than thou. And I yeah. think a lot of matchmakers and dating coaches, they say, we know all the rules. And my yeah. whole thing is like, fuck really the rules.
Any. Every relationship is so subjective.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. no, the only one that knows your relationship is you. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I will mm-hmm. say, rather than me telling you what to do this, I will give you advice and reflective questions to see, like, are you happy or are you settling? Are mm-hmm. you, like, you know, I think a lot of times, when you don't want to be lonely, you'll just like take the first thing that comes your way. I yeah. know that yeah. I've definitely done that. Or oh, like, yeah. you get fooled because like they're so hot or something and you're like, wow, like how can they like me, right?
Yeah.
So a big part of the work that I do is being like, look, we have to start with you first because mm-hmm. how you view yourself is how other people are going to view you. And also you have to learn that you have the control to kick people out that treat you bad.
Yeah.
So rather than wasting life being like, why doesn't he call? Why doesn't he like me? Fuck him. Move on to someone that does.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's like the ability. I always say, like, be the bouncer of your own club. You have to treat yourself like a private membership club. A lot of people will apply, but not everyone will get in. And, you know, that
that was a fucking line.
That was brilliant.
Everyone will apply, but not everyone will get in.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, and even like, look, like, it's like everyone wants to be a lawyer, right? But if they don't pass the LSAT, they're not going to become a lawyer.
Yeah.
You don't
yeah.
make the test easier because people keep failing. So yeah. it's like us as women.
Period.
And even like right. gender aside, no matter what type of relationship you're in or who you're attracted to, the only thing that's universal is that you deserve respect.
Yeah.
And all the other things of flowers or if you like to like not go to dinner and you do want to just hook up, no shame in that, right?
Yeah.
But make sure that it's what you want
yeah.
and not what you're settling for.
Yeah.
So that's my biggest thing. Like, we don't settle down, we settle up. So yeah. it's like, you know, period. Don't listen to all these people that tell you that they know your fucking relationship.
Yeah.
Because only you know what you want, but you have to be able to trust that you deserve what you actually want.
Yeah. Oh my God. 21 minutes into this episode and I already feel schooled. Like, oh my God. All right. Well, that obviously just like set up what you guys could expect for the rest of the show. So holy shit. This is what I was saying. When me and Lily were talking about this episode before, I was like, I feel like this is going to be a good one because based on like the other like podcasts that I was, you know, when I told you I was like doing the research, listening to your stuff, I was like, she's very well spoken. So yeah. This is going great. But
it's because I date for professors.
Yeah. Period. Dating for the education. Yeah. But all right, Lily, toxic thing of the week. All right. Let's hear it.
We'll get into it. So do you remember? So wait, we'll get into it. But we met at an event. Like we all met at an event. And at this dinner, I was oversharing, as I do. And I was telling everyone about my breakup. Do you kind of remember? And I passed my phone around to show everyone the evidence. Do you remember this?
Oh, my God. The makeout.
Oversharing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Period. Okay.
Yes, I do.
Yes. So we haven't really told the full story on the show. But the thing is, me and him were pretty much already done when that all happened. We are rekindling at the moment, which
it's
I know.
A whole thing. It's a whole thing.
Yeah. But so that was that. So the girl that he kind of had a thing with. So he has his roommate. Okay. You have to like get the structure here. He has his roommate and it's one of his really good friends. And he has this girlfriend who's way younger than him. So weird. I don't like this friend of his. And he has girl.
He's not good news.
Yeah. We're not. He's just like a little fuck boy. Like whatever. And his girlfriend is way younger than him, weird already. But like me and her, you know, we had to like hang out a lot over the year that we were together and like we would go out together. And she's a super sweet girl, like much younger than us, but like super sweet, you know, really liked her, was nothing but nice to her. And when me and him split up, the girl that he in that video and the girl that he like rebounded with was her best friend. So it was just like a little weird because like, I don't know, it was like, I thought, you know, if you're a girl's girl, you might be like, nah, like, you know, Lily's my girl, like maybe you shouldn't like get with him, like they just broke up, whatever. So it's like a little weird. He started hanging out with like their girlfriends and whatever, and we're kind of rekindling now. That was like 2 months ago, and I just noticed yesterday that I'm blocked from seeing her stories, and I just find that to be a little fucking weird. And I asked him about it, and he was like, I mean, he was like, I haven't seen her in weeks. Like, it's not like I'm going out with her and she's like hiding something from you. But I think
she knows. Do we trust that?
I do trust it because like I can still see her stories from another account.
Yeah.
Like I know.
Okay, that's a creep account.
I think what she's hiding from me is like she's good friends with the girl. Like I don't care. I don't know this girl.
Yeah, I don't think she's like trying to hide anything bad. I just think she's trying to hide the fact that she is hanging out with the girl because she knows it'll like upset you.
But like I don't care. Know. The girl that he like rebounded with, I had never met her before. I have no animosity towards her. She didn't owe me anything. She didn't even know that I existed when she met him. You know what I mean? So like no hard feelings there like at all. It was his responsibility not to be a little fucker, and so I don't care about this girl like at all, but I don't know what the bit is, like why she's blocking me from seeing her stories, but I just thought it was the most bizarre. I'm just a girl's girl, so I just don't like that energy when girls give that to me sometimes. Like, it's a little strange.
are you like rekindling with him for like a future reunion? No, is this your reunion era?
Reunion era.
Lily's like trying to be like calm, cool, collected about it because she just got schooled from the dating coach.
I'm like,
nah,
okay.
This bitch is in love. Like,
you're in love.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, we were together for like a year when everything happened. Yeah. But when everything happened, like a few days prior to that night that I shared with you guys, we pretty much ended things. Like, he was going through a very hard personal time, like with mental health stuff.
Yeah.
So it was a weird one because like he shouldn't have done it because we were kind of still like not sure what we were going to do.
Yeah.
But like we were kind of over, and then like classic, like a few weeks after he realized like how bad he fucked up and whatever. It's been a while
this
now.
This is my favorite game. What is he doing to try to win you back? Oh God.
I'm gonna here and eat my popcorn.
I know. I like very delicately talk about this because like the girls that follow the show, like his name is Work Bay. We call him that because we met because we worked in a restaurant together.
Hot.
And
restaurant relationships are always
so
they're so
no good drama.
You haven't had sex
scandalous.
In a fridge.
No, literally
in the meat fridge.
The drama working in a restaurant is unmatched. Like, it was a reality TV show. Like, even Christina was like obsessed. She would just come in to like get the characters and like understand. Yeah. Like,
oh, I'd like go in to, for like a little Aperol spritz, like alone. Yeah. Just to be like,
everyone that worked there was so hot. I want to know what everyone's doing.
Oh, yeah. I worked at a private membership club and.
Oh, yes. You totally get it then.
Between the people coming in.
Yeah. And the worker, everything. There's drama always.
I mean, I was making minimum wage, but I did get maximum return.
Yes. Yeah. No, literally. Literally me. Like, that job.
It really fed into my ego.
That job was like half the plot of this show last year.
Yeah,
like,
I know. That's literally
how I started my series.
Oh, TikTok. Really? Oh my God.
It was like Rich Eligible Bachelors was actually making fun of like those guys that were so full of themselves.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing. I like, I'm sure if you've watched the videos, yeah, there are actually places where rich guys go, but most of like the intro, everyone's like, how does she talk that fast? And why is she like giving these intros? Because it's a roast.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally.
So the girl's like, get it. Like, I'm roasting these Patagonia vests. Daddies, like,
yeah. Like, you're not like actually wanting to like fuck these men.
No, like, I mean, like, maybe. But
for like a good night.
Yeah,
but,
like it's like almost like tearing down the illusion of these guys to show what they like are.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, back to Morphe. I'm sorry.
Okay, back to Morphe. Yeah. So everyone's been keeping up with the plot, and then when we kicked off season two, this was my era. Like, I really thought we were like done. So I kick off season two, and we're like, yeah, we broke up, it's fucking lit.
Yeah, like Lily's single again. We have a single girl on the show.
Yeah, and then like episode by episode, it was like, we're kind of talking again. Like, you know, whatever.
Somebody, or maybe I will do it myself. I will put my pussy into it, and I will go back into every episode to find the parts
make
of
it, like,
Lily.
Montage. It's
like a
so
montage
chaotic.
Of Lily being like, I'm in love, me and Morphe are together. Oh, we broke up. Oh, we're talking about it. Oh my God, we're together. Nope, we broke up. Like, it's been chaos.
Such chaos.
We did a Q&A the other day, and half of the questions were like, Lily girl.
Like, yeah,
what,
like, what's
going
on?
But Lily, can I say, like, I honestly, like, respect you being so, like, honest and like, showing the reality of it, because I think that's another thing. A lot 100%. Of people show an unrealistic reality of falling in love and falling out of love and breakup. Back together. It's not linear.
No, it's not.
100%.
So it's like, you, again, this is back to the original point that I made. Like, you know what you deserve. You know your relationship. Yeah. And like, if you told me right now, like, I don't know, like, he cheated on me with 100 people, and maybe I'd be like, fuck no.
Yeah.
You know?
It was a very, I will say, it was a very like
a gray area.
Yeah. And even my friends, because I do really listen to my friends, but I have entered this era, like, you, it was really resonating with me when you were saying, like, I'm the only one that really knows my relationship and this person, because he was like my best friend first before we dated, so like I just know him, and like every time we've gotten back together, it's like my friends are like, oh, but then they're like, we do love him, like, he is like a good person.
I could definitely vouch for him and say that, like, yes, he did some shitty things, he made some mistakes, but I do know him pretty well, and, you know, being Lily's like best friend and everything, I became pretty good friends with him, and I do really think it's just like mistakes, and I think, you know, that, like, I don't think he's like this like toxic manipulative like, I don't think he's like the toxic ex-boyfriend that you keep running back to. I think that, like, a lot of it was like he just like didn't really know how to handle situations.
Well, he had never, like, I was his first serious girlfriend.
Yeah, exactly. Like, age. I don't think he means bad in the slightest. Like, I don't
he
get
has
that
no
like
idea
toxic
what he's doing,
masculine.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
And I think one thing that, like, also going back to like the online version of life versus the real reality is that everyone's going to make a mistake. But the question is your partner making a mistake and turning it into a lesson, or are they repeating the same mistake?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So it's up to you, though, Lily. And this is like for you to decide now, like, how you hold him accountable. You can forgive, but you also need to, like, make sure that, like, he's constantly at the level that, like, you deserve when it comes to respect.
Yeah, I'm like so anal about it now. Like, the littlest things, like when he goes out, for example, I'm like, not a psycho, I'm not like, you need to text me, like, blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, let me know when you get there, who's there, what are the vibes, and then let me know when you get home safe, and like just simple things like that. And just he's just overall been kind of doing all the things that I was hoping he would do to kind of like step it up a little bit, which is great, but I'm still very much taking it very slow and like kind of, you know, I trust my gut with him, like, for sure. I knew when everything happened back in January, I had a bad feeling. I knew something was not right. I knew he was in a really bad place personally. And now I just know to trust my gut, because I knew something was wrong, and I knew something like that was
always
going to happen.
Always trust your gut.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I thought I was getting human trafficked in a steakhouse recently.
Oh my God.
Okay. Talk about trusting your gut. Sir,
okay. So. No.
No.
It's scary though, dude. No,
that, the gut. No, the being, gut thing. That, I'm sorry.
As a like woman?
100%, yeah. I really did make a 360 there, but it was because of the gut situation.
Yeah.
Because I do think like dating in Europe is fucking crazy. Well, let me just, the context was that we met at Soho House. We were like vibing. We went on like a lot of dates. Like we went on like a marathon. But then one time like his, I thought his phone was ringing, but it was his ankle monitor.
Ain't no fucking way.
So I'm at the bar at the Chelsea Hotel and I'm like, did you get context?
Like, what's the story?
Did he explain why he had that?
I will say he did send me the article to read.
No. No.
It was on a very major publication.
Not the mugshot. Like,
I don't know how I would react.
And then he invited me to Art Basel. So,
like, it's fine. Yeah. Like, everything's fine. Like,
no.
No, but I literally, like.
He's like, I'm just like you. You're like, no, you're not. Yeah. You're actually not.
It was like a little bribery issue.
Slay. No, like, I can work with that. Yeah. Like, yeah. It's like a little drug moment, like, yeah. A little bribery. Yeah. That's fine.
No, everyone's alive.
No violence.
It's like a little Anna Delvey moment. Yeah. Like, we can work with it.
Like,
you know?
A 40-year-old Anna Delvey. Right. But with, like, the U.S. monitor. Government.
Oh, my God. I would.
Oh, my God.
I would like immediately be like, I gotta go to the bathroom and like call all of my friends. No, yeah. Like, I mean,
FaceTime. This is the first time that I've actually shared the story. But I think like it was actually a sign of me having grown a little bit because normally that would be a turn on.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh my God.
Ooh, he's a little scandalous.
Yeah. No, I was sneaky. Like, I'm ready for my scandal era. Yeah. Like, I will be at like Capitol Hill in my pantsuit. Right. Like, but
cue the Britney Spears.
You're like, oh, I've grown. I'm like not attracted to that. Like,
yeah. Like, no, because no. But back to the gut. I was on the date. Like we were at like the steakhouse, and I was just like, do I like him or do I just like the restaurants that we go to? Like, we're,
yeah.
Like
so valid.
It was like
so true.
No, because we had the same lifestyle. Like we were going to Pola Bar. We were like doing all this stuff. And I'll tell you the moment I trusted my gut. It wasn't the ankle monitor.
Yeah.
I went on two more dates after that. But what he did say, he said, Tiffany, because I was telling him, like, I'm a model. And he's like, wow, have you always been this size? You wear your weight so well.
No.
Nope. Immediately no. It's not an accessory.
Oh, are you kidding
me? My pouch is not a Dior pouch. Like,
that's like so passive.
I just like cannot believe what
people. That people say that sort of shit.
And like he probably didn't think anything of it. He probably thought he was being nice.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, 100%.
No, he was like, "You're so beautiful. Like you wear your weight so well."
No,
I will say one thing about
like,
me.
I'm sorry.
I will get the fuck up. So I did.
Yeah. One thing about me, I will get the fuck up.
I feel
like we're 34 minutes in this episode. I feel like this is one of those episodes where I've had just so many jaw-dropping moments.
I know.
I've you like got laughed stories. A lot in like episodes or whatever, but like some of the shit that you're spurring out, I'm just like.
I thought it couldn't get worse than the ankle monitor, and then he says that.
Is
that
real?
Worse than the ankle monitor.
It is.
He should have been sent to jail.
It is. Yeah. Jail. Immediately jail.
But, oh my you know, I think, God. Like, that's the reality. And, like, being a dating coach that's actually dating makes me good at my job.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Because it's, like, also having the empathy for people and not just turning it into these rules, but realizing, mm-hmm. like, I'm going through the same shit that you're going through.
Yeah.
So, like, when I get in these situations, because on paper, this guy was perfect. I mean, maybe not on a legal document, but he was great. And, you know, at the end of the day, I was like, I don't care how perfect you are on paper. If you don't, number one, respect me.
Mm-hmm.
Or make me feel like beautiful. Like I always say, like, I remember when I used to watch, like, He's Just Not That Into You.
The
quote was like, you're the rule, not the exception.
Yeah.
And I actually flipped it. I don't want to be the exception. I want to be the rule.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think especially if you're dating with a different body or like on paper, right? A lot of people would probably say like, I'm too like fat or something like that to pull the guys that I do. Or like I've been through a lot when it comes to dating with a different body size that like, I don't want to be someone's exception. Like, I want someone to like me because I'm Tiff. And I don't want someone to, like, fetishize me because I'm a different size or something like that. So don't be the exception. Like, if someone ever says, like, oh, wow, you have a great personality for a girl that looks like you or something like that. If people are making context to justify why passive. They like you, don't do it. You should be something that, like, someone's proud of.
Yeah, they're just like, I just like you.
Yeah, like when I say, like, rule, I mean, like, you want to be something that's normal, not the exception.
Yeah.
Because you want someone to treat you as you, not as a stereotype or like as a trope.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I've seen a lot. Dating in New York is a fucking mess. Yeah. So it's like, what I've learned from my experiences dating is that, like, when you don't feel the best about yourself, you're going to let people treat you bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like, now when that happened on the date with the guy saying that about my weight, I was like, what I like if any of my clients or if anyone on TikTok commented that, like, how would I respond to that? Mm-hmm. So it's almost like this two-way street where it's like my TikTok community also holds me accountable to, like, get the life I deserve too.
I always think about this, and whenever, like, I'm thinking about, like, you know, if, like, me and my boyfriend get to do a fight or something, or I'm thinking about something like relationship-wise, dating, whatever. Ever since we started doing this show,
what would the girlies say about that?
I always think I'm like, because we get DMs from girls all day long, obviously asking for like advice and this and that with my boyfriend, this guy, like whatever. And I always think, like, if one of them were to, you know, DM us and say exactly what I am experiencing, what would I have told them? Mm-hmm. Like, you know,
that is a good way to think. No, about
exactly,
it.
Really true.
Yeah, and but. It's, oh, no, sorry, go on.
No, we can talk forever. But I do think it's like that double-edged sword. Like, don't live in a relationship to impress other people. Like, it's like what we were talking about, like, trusting your gut is so important. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But also listen to the people around you that care about you.
Yeah.
And, like, I think a lot of times we feel this pressure to act like everything's perfect. Mm-hmm. And, like, you're embarrassed to share the bad stuff with your
friends. I was like that for long. Yeah. I was really, like, and the work bay is the one that called me out for it. I had a really bad tendency of just, like, not sharing the ugly stuff, even, like, with my closest friends.
Yeah, I remember
and
this
And I never
era.
Was trying to, like, hide things. I guess I just, like, subconsciously don't want people to, like, worry about me or judge me or, like, blah, 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 blah. But then I'm like, oh my God, I don't care. Everyone's a fucking mess. Like,
everyone's a mess. And I think, like, especially when it comes to dating advice and matchmakers and all that, anyone that's selling you the perfect dream or that they have the perfect life, they're full of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I think there's so much power to all of us sharing the mess, sharing the chaos, and, like, being like, it's okay. Let's work on how we can all grow and figure out what works for us together. Because, like, imagine if, like, you didn't feel comfortable telling me about work bay.
I
didn't feel comfortable about telling you how it's been for me being called fat by people. Like, it's like we all have our own versions of the things that, like, either make us insecure or make us question ourselves and our relationships. But it's like being able to talk about it. Number one, you get the good feedback you need.
Yeah.
You know, I always say, like, everybody has an opinion. Not everyone has taste. But the people that are in your life, you should really trust their opinion.
Yeah. 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 You know? Totally.
Like, maybe don't get an opinion from, like, some guy you meet at the club at 4 a.m. about your relationship. But, like, your girls, like, they care for you and they love you. So, like, if everyone doesn't like your partner, there's probably something wrong.
Right. Yeah. I agree.
Also, if, like, you really love your partner and your friends don't like him and you think that there's a misunderstanding, maybe bring them together. Like, you know, it's like that mix.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
100%. All right. Well, once again, more schooling. God damn. Hell yeah. No, this is going absolutely fantastic. I was trying to think of, like, a toxic thing of the week for me. We went over this, like, before we started recording. I don't really have one, but you guys, like, just spurred out anyway.
I think we nailed it.
Yeah, I think we nailed it. I think for today, the girlies nailed it. So let's move into G and T, take a little break from dating and all that, and then we'll get back into it. But for G&T, you guys know this is our new segment that we introduced, basically pop culture recap. So the big thing that happened this week is the CEO of TikTok testified before Congress about the potential ban of
TikTok. People are making the most, like, emotional videos about it on TikTok, and it's like, that's what's starting to freak me out. People are like, I don't know. There's a few that were just like, I just want to tell you guys how much I love and appreciate you because this might just be all taken away. And I was like, wait, no, I'm so addicted to TikTok. This cannot happen.
Well, here's the thing. So the good news is that
I'm scared.
Like, nothing major, like, no major commitments were made. But I obviously wrote down, like, some cliff notes, so I'll just blabble it off to you guys quickly.
And Tiff's the expert on this, yeah, too, exactly. Apparently.
So she was all like, I can say before everything. You begin is that the CEO of TikTok is so hot.
Daddy. Yes,
yes. We were discussing daddy. This. And if I have to save TikTok with my own
up a yeah, with my dating life, with the, yeah. Like, I'm it, there.
I think my coochie could save TikTok. Yeah.
No, literally. It's so funny because like, yeah, you mentioned it. That before we started recording and immediately I was like, oh my God, I'm not crazy. Like, I was like, he is. When I was watching it, I was like, also, I'm not going to lie, I feel like his energy was making me a little more attracted to him, too.
Hell yeah. The way he evaded,
the way he, like, made the people in Congress look so fucking stupid, I was like, oh, that's hot.
With that eye patch guy?
Like, some of it was just, like, weak. But anyways, so, aside from the CEO being really hot, so the Cliff Notes is, if you guys don't know what's going on, the U.S. is basically threatening to ban TikTok due to potential national security risk.
Please take my TikTok data. Like, fuck off.
Yeah, I literally don't care, but a lot of people care. But anyways, yeah. So
I can't imagine caring.
You know, obviously, I didn't get to watch. You said you watched the entire thing. Yeah. I did not. I watched parts of it, and you said you watched nothing.
Yeah, so I had a busy week.
We have a lot of different things going on here. But you know what? Although I didn't even watch the entire thing, the parts that I did watch were very painful. One of the things I wrote down here is there is a viral clip going around of them talking about if TikTok accesses your home Wi-Fi network. And it was the stupidest interaction I've ever seen. Because, like, no shit. Like, literally, the CEO was like, well, if a user needs Wi-Fi to watch TikTok, they're going to connect to the Wi-Fi. Like, what do you mean? Does TikTok access my home Wi-Fi network?
And if the user uses Wi-Fi,
no, exactly. That's why it was like the entire thing was just like they were asking some really stupid. Like, the CEO was like, "I'm not 100% sure what you're asking," because like it was just so dumb.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, overall, the entire thing just seemed like one big mess. I literally wrote down that you could see in the CEO's face how confused he was over some of the questions and the allegations made. And he even, so I wrote down that he called them out when they were mentioning possibility of selling TikTok to an American company, which I thought this was so, like, you know, bold of him, which was like so true though. He goes, "I don't think ownership is the issue here. With a lot of respect, American social companies don't have a good track record with data privacy and user security. Look at Facebook and Cambridge Analytica, just one example." So he like called them out. He was like, yeah, I really don't think that ownership is an issue here. America has a bad track
also,
record.
Also, God forbid Facebook, America doesn't own something.
Yeah, like it's just like a whole thing. So yeah, I mean, the entire thing goes way deeper than what we're talking about on this show. You know, obviously we're no experts in this field and like the politics, obviously just users who enjoy and post on TikTok. But you know, that was that. I mean, overall, it just seemed like one gigantic grilling and no real like commitments were actually made. So a lot of it is still up in the air. So will it get banned? I don't know. Maybe not. There's no total conclusion.
Do you have an opinion on how you think it's going to go? It's so up in the air right now.
I genuinely don't think they're going to ban it.
I think it's going to take a lot.
It's going to take a lot. I mean, like one of them literally called TikTok Tic-Tac.
I saw that too.
I think it would be an absolute shame if they deleted TikTok over. I mean, it's the first time in like any social media history where people can come together, share opinions, and, you know, almost like create new conversations. Like,
yeah.
Think about this in the past. Yeah, there's Facebook, there's Instagram, but those are photos. Those are not, you're not hearing the personal story.
Yeah.
And before that, right? How did young people get ideas about what life should be? From movies, from entertainment, from news. All owned by big corporations.
Yeah.
TikTok to me is the individuals taking the power back.
Yeah, you
know?
Exactly.
And everything always has an underbelly. You know, like there's always going to be sad things and bad things that happen on a platform. Mm-hmm. However, I think the good outweighs the bad.
Me too.
Yeah, 100%.
And I also think like, this is the way for people to create community and to really, you know, not have to just believe all the fucking brainwashing that like love has to be one way or that you have to look a certain way. Like just think about, for example, like this is just fresh of mind, but like the body positivity movement, having to hear so many people's thoughts. There's no one agrees on anything ever.
Yeah.
Everything's always relative, no matter what the conversation is. But the fact that like people are hearing my dating advice and then someone that's completely different.
Yeah.
That's to me, true democracy.
That you can find someone that resonates with them rather than just having one option. Yeah, like exactly.
Yeah, I mean, if it's the land of the free, let's keep our fucking TikTok.
Yeah,
well, that's exactly. Why America doesn't like it, because it is making people more woke. Yeah. That's literally why. No, I think
don't
the
have to just believe the things that we're told, you know, on TV or on movies. Like,
exactly.
It's real people telling their real stories. So I hope we can continue to do it.
Yeah.
And it fucking changed my life.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, exactly.
Please don't make me lose my job.
Yeah, right, right.
I know. Think about how many people would just be. And like, there's businesses, like there's tiny little small businesses whose lives are forever changed from one video. I mean, that's really what's amazing about TikTok.
You know what's wild? Like the last kind of like 2 cents in this I'll put in was when I was like, you know, doing research, trying to get everything together about this. I was watching, do you guys know who Phil DeFranco is on YouTube? He's like, he talks about like current news, whatever. Anyways, I was watching his video and he started talking about like, you know, the TikTok ban and everything. And he obviously is not for it. Like, you know, most people are like, don't ban TikTok. But the one thing that he said that like kind of perked my ears a little bit was he was like, although like I'm obviously not for the ban of TikTok, like I want TikTok to stay. If TikTok got banned, it would help people like me out, because his primary platform is YouTube. He like dedicates all his time to YouTube. Mm. And he was like, people would need a new platform to move to, so they would probably migrate back to the other apps.
Oh, YouTube would become huge.
And
again.
He would be like, yeah, so it would help me. So I was like wow, that's like a very interesting way to look at it for like a person like that. So I guess it would benefit him, but I mean, overall,
it's not worth it for the overall.
Not worth it. Yeah. And he said that, too. He's like, I am in like in no way for this, but it probably would help me. So I was like, wow, it's interesting. Different perspective. But anyways, that's all we'll say about that. The other thing that we actually weren't going to touch on this until Lily brought it up right before we were going to record. We talked about it in the last like 2 episodes with G&T. Obviously, you guys know about the Selena Gomez, Hailey Bieber drama.
Yeah.
There are updates. Lily has the screenshots. They both posted some things onto their Instagram story. I heard about it, but I didn't even know what they said. So you can take that away.
Unfortunately, I care. Like, yeah. I usually like don't care about these things, but like my girl Selena, like I'm gonna back her up till the day I die. But she basically posted like a pretty brief thing just saying, Hailey reached out to me saying she's been receiving death threats and negativity. I don't stand for this. Like, I've always advocated against this. So, like, please fucking stop. And then Hailey posted a huge thing, and they did follow each other.
Yes,
also
I saw that
on Instagram. Mm-hmm. She posted a thing just thanking Selena and said how hard the past few weeks have been and how social media can be amazing, but also can be terrible. And I will say, like, even though Hailey, I hated some of the things that she did, people took that shit way too far.
Yeah.
Like, why are we sending her death threats over, I'm sorry, what? Like, just like, whoa, calm down. But she did say, we all need to be more thoughtful about what we post and what we say, including myself. Kind
she
of
like
admitting.
Called herself out.
Yeah. And which I liked what Tiff said. Tiff was like, that was her opportunity to apologize.
Yeah, I would have loved to see an apology. But like, I think also on like a bigger level, like, why do we love pitting two women together? Like,
oh,
this,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
100%.
Like, this is all what? A lot of it, I know, I don't know all the details. I don't keep up with this so much. But, you know, I know like Hailey was posting things like Selena and stuff like that.
Subtle things.
If she was doing that, that's fucked up.
Yeah,
but
she was.
Like, and
sure.
If this is revolving around Justin and like, all that stuff, like, why does he get to like wear his Crocs and like he's always wearing like his what is a poncho?
He just
like always gets to do that. And we like
the man never is part of the narrative.
The man's never part of the narrative. So I think like the only thing that I've really taken away, because again, like we'll never know what truly happened.
Right.
Yeah. I would have loved to see Hailey apologize if she did do that. Yeah. I don't know the tea, but it seems like she was kind
she
of.
Definitely
she
definitely
was
did.
Kind yeah, of. She, I mean, that proves 100%. It was like her admitting.
Some of them are just undeniable.
Being a mean girl is the ugliest thing you can do.
Yeah. Oh,
so 100%. That's it. I mean, that's my 2 cents on
it. Yeah, 100%. And Selena's just that bitch.
Love her.
Period.
She's the girly. Since River.
Girl's girl.
Since Wizards of Waverly Place.
Yes. Alex Russo, queen.
All right, guys. So now we're going to get into like, you know, the actual stuff. I mean, you literally
50 minutes in
spitting bars at the beginning, which was fantastic. But obviously, we need to hear more about who you are and all that. Like we said at the beginning, you're nicknamed the Manhattan Dating Tour Guide. And also, just for background, I wrote this on here. Me and Lily, how we met you, we both already followed you on TikTok, so that was like a given. We were like, we love this girl. And then we ended up at the same Dr. Dennis Gross dinner, and whatever the hell we were talking about at the end of the table,
came into the dinner and sat down, and I was like, Christina, I love that.
Yeah,
like, I was like, I love that girl.
I was late as fuck. I was like, what's going on?
Yeah, yeah, you were late as fuck.
That's so true. But yeah, no, and then we were talking about something, and I guess you like heard us talking, and Tiff just like literally extends over the table.
I'm gonna have to interrupt for a second.
I need to put my two cents in. It was so fucking funny.
I know we talked about tattoos, but I wonder if we were talking about Work Bay or like my drama at that point.
I don't even remember.
I'm being nosy.
Yeah. No, I love that. And I love that you just intervened like that. I was like, yes. Like,
also, your tattoos were, I was dying.
Oh, yeah. Like, your tattoo stories were absolutely hilarious.
I literally have single tramp stamped on my body.
So. Yeah. Like, no, it was
the vibe.
Absolutely
the most
incredible.
Amazing thing.
Yeah. So we left that dinner and, you know, we all followed each other and me and Lily were like,
we got in the Uber and we were like, yeah, she's coming on the show.
Yeah. We're like, we are getting her on the show. So, yeah. So that's how we met her. But we want your background as to, you know, who you are, what you do.
How give you
your,
got like, to New York.
Yeah. Give your cliff notes, basically.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
It's chaotic. So, I mean, I feel like I do like a million different things. You know, TikTok is definitely like my main job. But like I literally just started TikTok during the pandemic, like talking about like nightlife and guys and stuff like that. Cause like I never thought that, like, we didn't know if we were gonna be able to go back to nightlife. So it was like almost like the sanctuary to like hold on to all these memories and stuff.
Yeah.
So I moved to New York 8 years ago, moved here to be a musician. I was very much a struggling artist, like very empty soul, empty rooms. Like I was like really not, it was hard. Like it was when you move to New York and you don't have a lot of money, it's not easy.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And I think that's another thing, like the TikTokers that you see a lot, often people think that they're all rich and maybe that's good for them. But I like really feel like I had to struggle bust my way to stay here, which, like, you know, it's actually been the best thing that could have ever happened to me, like working hard to figure out what I want to do. So I was in the service industry while I was in college. I got a full ride to college, which was good.
Except that's awesome, except for that.
I got signed to a modeling agency, and it was such like a crazy moment for me because like it was also the first time I was dating in New York. I had the ability to date because in high school, ever since I could remember, like I was always bullied for being like fat. People would like literally always just like, I had it a little bit rough. Like, but that's kind of where I had to build my confidence from the ground up. So when I first moved to New York, I was like shocked. I was like, what? Someone wants to sleep with me? So then I get signed to this modeling agency, and I'm also coming into myself as like, you know, dating and being viewed as like, you know, desirable. And it kind of was a lot. And then you like fall in love with like the glamour of New York nightlife and partying. Yeah. So I had a wild girl phase. I mean, I'm always a club rat.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to be a barfly till I die. But I do think now, so it's been 8 years, I have all these crazy dating stories. So I started sharing them on TikTok during the pandemic and people started relating to it. And of course I was like, where to meet all the rich eligible bachelors?
Yeah.
And I just started writing all these jokes about these guys and talking fast. And like, I didn't even realize I talked fast. It was just like, I had a minute. So, and I loved the art of like words and like puns and like just really like roasting these guys that we all used to be convinced were like the dream guys, but you realize like the American dream guy is truly a nightmare.
The guys
that like you're convinced in the movies to like, when you meet them in New York, you're like, oh no, he's just a cokehead in a suit.
No, literally.
So do you remember, I have this written down actually, what you're like, what was like your, oh, did you have like a video that blew you up or like one that you
actually,
like remember?
Yes, so funny. The first video that blew up was this trending sound that was like, I am so dick deprived. I have lost sight in my ear.
I kind of have that.
It was this girl. So I made a montage of all the guys that I was like seeing at the time, my roster.
You made like, a montage and put it on TikTok?
Yeah.
Oh, that's bold.
I deleted it now because one of their kids saw it.
No.
No.
Ain't no way.
They're like, Dad?
Who is
this woman?
Everybody, watch your dads. They're not safe.
Oh, okay. Wait, wait. We have said that before because Lily gets dads in her DMs from this show. And I'm she's like, I'm telling you have a wife and
kids, I'm DMing her. Like, I'm messaging your wife.
Oh, yeah. Like, this was a single father. I've never, I always have, like, my own personal thing where it's like, don't fuck with the families.
Yeah.
You know? Not fuck with the families.
Yeah, don't fuck with the families. Yeah. Like, I also, like, even if, for me, it's like, I want to be the priority in someone's life. So if you're dating someone that has a secret life, they're going to treat you like a secret.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's kind of where the origin story of Take Me Out and like me making these TikToks, it's about like you knowing that like you're someone that's meant to be taken to the best places. Mm-hmm. You're meant to be celebrated. You don't want to be someone's like, you don't want to let someone treat you like a secret. Mm-hmm. And I think like in New York, a lot of the times dating, people will do what you let them get away with. So I spent a lot of my younger years, like I'm 26 now, so from like 21 to 23, I was just like so insecure that I was like finding love in all the wrong places.
Yeah.
And I didn't think I deserved what I actually wanted, so I settled for the shit that people gave me.
Yeah.
So that really, when the TikTok started going viral, of course it was about like where to meet Eldridge Batch and stuff, but it was so much more than that for me. It was like, mm-hmm. my space to claim owning my identity and sharing this confidence and flirting tips. And like, I didn't want to be just another dating coach that's selling an unrealistic fantasy mm-hmm. and telling people they need to change in order to find love.
Yeah.
You know, this was like a place for me, like, and even now while dating, I say, don't change yourself to change the man. Like mm-hmm. you don't want to continuously feel like you're not enough and seek validation from other people because mm-hmm. you'll always lose.
Yeah,
so
always.
That's really my approach now as a dating coach. I'm a matchmaker. I have a new show where I set up two strangers in New York to go on dates.
You guys, yeah, it's amazing. It's,
yeah, I'm fantastic. Hooked.
It's called Street Hearts. If anyone's single,
hit her up.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
But you know, it's been a really wild ride, and I think like mixing all the chaos that's truly part of dating, especially dating in New York, and being real about it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. being real about it is the key.
Yeah, 100%. It's not perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, so you are nicknamed the Manhattan Dating Tour Guide, which I absolutely love. I love that's like in your bio and everything. So we're going to kind of touch on that for a little bit because we have questions.
Oh, about like so, where to go?
Yeah. So first up, how do you like figure out which place is like best to go if blank? So like, you know, you have your ones like go to these places if you want the sugar daddies, go here if you want the hot guys, and obviously your favorite line, the rich eligible bachelors. Like mm-hmm. how do you like is it from like personal experience that you go to this place and you're like, okay, this is where all the daddies are? You go to another place and you're like, oh, this is just like hot broke guys.
Yeah, you have like a note on your phone like, where you're like, yeah, tracking like these
how
places.
Did you like come up with this, basically, this whole thing?
I've your seen spiel. A lot.
Yeah.
That's why I figure it's personal experience. No, you know, so, like, you know, do you have your, like, essentially, like, do you have a system for your map?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a daddy compass.
You need an app. Wait, you need an app that's a map, and you could be like, tonight I want to look for a sugar daddy, and you select sugar daddy, and it shows you all the places in Manhattan that you recommend.
Christina's starting a business.
Well, you know,
for you.
I think I'm loving the energy.
We're gonna talk after this.
I think the thing is like the daddy. I want to specify, right? Like to me, daddy's an energy.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Sugar daddies and all that stuff like that. Like that, I use the word daddy, but it doesn't always mean sugar daddy.
A literal
daddy.
No, yeah. Dad
like,
or daddy.
Yeah, yeah, a dad yeah, or daddy yeah. or sugar daddy. Like, I think, like, do what you want. And, like, my whole dating advice is truly, like, do what makes you happy. If you're not hurting anyone, go have a sugar daddy. Go do all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right. yeah, yeah.
You know, at this age, now I feel like I've been making TikToks since I was broke and working at a private membership club and really impressed by these guys with money and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And now that I've like created my own business and did all this stuff, like I now want someone that, like the biggest realization that I've come to recently is understanding that just because he has money doesn't mean that he's good.
Oh and my God, like, absolutely. You know,
so if you're gonna do the sugar daddy, if you're gonna find guys and do all that, the one thing that I would recommend and actually just like promote is to make sure that whether they have 2 cents or 2 billion, that you are always treated like a prize.
Right. Yeah.
So
exactly. You know, it's I more think about the energy of the person yeah, than it is the physical.
Yeah. Fuck the money. Like, yeah. Like you don't, I would rather, I like, this is controversial for me, but I would maybe not broke. Actually, I wouldn't date a broke boy. But I'm not really.
I love a broke boy. We invented talked about this. They're always hot and mysterious.
No, let's talk about it because let's back to your question of where to go. I've dated a lot of broke boys, a lot of matches on the floor, a lot of Bushwick bad boys that you meet at Carmelo's. If you want like
that's literally my type. Yeah.
Did I just read you?
You just read Lily.
Unfortunately.
So when it comes to finding the map of where to go, I've just lived here for a long time and I've gone out a lot. Yeah. Also, like I told you, like I'm a serial dater and I was a serial subletter before having my apartment. I literally lived in the Jane Hotel before I got this apartment for 8 months and it was a tiny room. Like I've never had a home, so the streets were my home.
Weren't they supposed to shut down the Jane to like do some renovations?
It's turning into a private membership club.
Yes.
It's people turning into so San Vincent from this. LA.
Yes.
So
tragic.
Wow, you lived there right before they like.
It was the last.
Yeah,
it was
iconic.
The last.
Wow, that's kind of iconic.
I meet guys in the club and bring them up.
Yeah. Where do you live?
Here.
I was like the downtown trash Eloise.
That's amazing.
Instead of Eloise at the Plaza, it's Tiff at the Jane. Yeah. Like, the spinoff that nobody knew
that
they
is
needed.
So good.
Oh, that's so fucking so true. Funny. So,
how I find places to go, I just always went out. And I also, like, I call myself like a sommelier of daddies. Like, I've tried every type of guy.
Yeah.
Because, like,
that's good, though.
That's great. Like, I always say, like, I don't have a type. I find out when they're in front of me. So, even though, like, now I'm a little more avoidant of Bank of America finance.
Right.
Guys.
We have something to trigger
on. Yeah. Like, I'm not putting my hand back on the stove with everyone.
Right.
But it's a very easy strategy. Like a few tips on where to meet people. Like if you want a business daddy, steakhouses, hotel bars.
Yeah.
Google like expensive cocktail spots. If you like a skater boy, go to places that charge 2 cents for a Pabst Blue Ribbon. Washington Square Park. Or like hang outside of Amelion Door. Like
I feel like in New York, it's like there's these neighborhoods and category. I had a huge going out phase and it really is like this bar, you're going to find this person. Yeah. And this bar,
it's 100%. It's comedic. And I think that's like really, because to me, New York is a place of being infinite. Like I never have felt like I fit into anything. I could be like an uptown plaza girl in the morning and then like
by night I'm
trashy,
like,
trashy Bushwick girl tonight.
I think that showing all the dynamic sides of ourselves is the exciting part about being in New York. You don't have to be one way, but you can definitely identify the certain types of guys that you want to meet by certain places.
So for sure,
finance guys, the Spaniard, Village Tavern, West Village. Also like the Beekman, like if you want like a older like dinosaur daddy, like that's for sure.
Dino daddy.
Love that. If you want like the like fashion hose, like you're gonna go to La Dive or like Lucia or like all that stuff. So people really, it's funny in a way because it's almost like everyone wears costumes in the city.
Yeah.
Like.
No, yeah, 100%.
And I sometimes feel like I dress up for the occasion.
That was my next, I think tonight I might go to East Village. Like, I'm going to play the part. Yeah. Like, I might even have a pack of cigarettes in my bag.
Like, I want to talk about like my parents' divorce and smoke American Blues.
Yeah.
I remember like one time I was if I'm like going to like the Upper East Side to have like a little cocktail, I'm gonna dress a little nice.
But
like one time I remember like looking in my closet and I'm like, okay, I'm going to an Adidas event in the Lower East Side. I'm gonna wear the baggy cargo pants.
Like,
that's what the vibe is.
That's so New York. You have to like fit the neighborhood you're going out in.
Exactly. Oh, so speaking of like characters and all that stuff, you make a lot of TikToks that are like tailored to like celebrities, which I think is the funniest thing ever. You know, you recently did one about what's his name, Pedro Pascal, and you were like, if you want to meet your adjacent Pedro Pascal, you're gonna go to this place. How are you tying these celebrities in? Are you just like, if a celebrity is like going viral? I think you did one on Timothée Chalamet also. I could be wrong.
Timothée Chalamet glue. I love it. No,
you're like, if they like, if you want a man that radiates the same energy as this guy, go to this place.
Like, I love
together.
Pete, like Pete Davidson dupes. Like,
yes.
Like Davidson daddies, Davidson dupes,
that's
Pedro
a
ho.
Way to put it though.
Like, yeah, because like, there's types like Pete Davidson, like it's of course all loose, right? But it's like, you want a guy covered in tattoos that like looks one bad decision away from an IV bag and like will definitely gaslight you. You're gonna go to Flower Shop. Yeah. Like,
Period.
Like, not we're gonna go to Mr. Fong's. Yeah. Like, right. And again, I think like dating is a great way to figure out the city. Yeah. Like that's truly, I like when I was bored, like, and I think New York can be really lonely. So I really used the apps when I used to feel lonely to go on dates and like just to be busy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I really dated a lot in my like early, like from 18 to probably 23.
Yeah.
I dated. And even now I still date a little differently. Like now I'm not as interested in like being taken out to places because I take myself out. But like, you know what I'm saying? Like I date less but higher quality. Back then I was like, you got an Amex and a bad personality. Let's fucking go.
Yeah. No, when I got out of my 4-year relationship, I became like that summer a serial dater too. Like I was going on dates every other day and I just like didn't give a fuck. And like, but I loved it and I don't regret it in the slightest because that was my first time since I moved to New York City, like being dating. Single. I moved to New York City when I was in that long-term relationship. So I was like, I'm going to literally date every scum of the earth of New York right now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to find out what I love, what I hate. I'm going to experience new places, new people. I'm going to do the whole thing and I'm going to have stories to tell people. Yeah. Like that was like my whole thing. So I 100%.
Well, that's the thing. Like everyone thinks that dating is bad, but truly it can actually be so fun when you make it about you.
Yeah, and you learn so much about yourself. Yeah.
It's not about getting them to like you. It's you seeing if they're qualified to date you.
Yeah.
And like, that's how I've done it. And it's also like, once you like have gotten rejected or you shoot your shot and you realize you've been on enough bad dates, you don't give a fuck anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like what? Someone doesn't like me? Okay. Like, sorry. Moving he has along. Terrible taste.
Yeah. Right? No, exactly. Okay. So listen, you decided which rich eligible bachelor you want. You're at the place, you know, per Tiff's recommendation. How are we approaching these men?
What is,
flirting I'm bad 101. At that.
Like, if a guy starts it with me, I'm amazing. But I cannot go to a man.
What is the flirting?
I have a PhD in flirting.
Okay, let's hear it. What are the top tips or, you know?
Absolutely. And even if you're awkward, even if you're like not good at flirting, I think you can always learn. Confidence is a muscle. Flirting is a muscle.
Mm-hmm.
I think the energy truly is not being afraid of rejection. When you have nothing to lose, you don't care. So like you're already single, so what, they don't like you, you'll still be single. When you have that mentality that like all I can do is gain a date and I'm losing nothing,
right? That's true.
You know, it allows you to do whatever you want. So tips, actual things to do. If I'm at a bar, I actually am a huge fan of solo dining, going to bars alone, all that stuff.
Yes, me too. Yeah. 100%.
Solo dining is a great way to do it. Like, but when I go solo dine, it's typically not like at an Applebee's. It'll be like at hotel bars that I like or like places that I know the bartender. So what I would say is find a place that you feel comfortable at. Go once. I know it's really scary. It's almost like, it's like the idea of going to the gym is worse than actually going to the gym. It's like the idea of going to the gym is worse than going to the gym.
Yeah. I know you mean.
But it's the same with solo dining. So the idea of, oh my God, people are going to think I'm weird. People are going to like judge me. Who gives a shit? Yeah. If someone's judging you, they hate their life.
It's weird of them. It's not weird of you to go get dinner by yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's like if I see a woman like eating her food, drinking her little cocktail on her own, doing her thing, I'm like, that's a bad bitch.
Yeah. This is like not 1703. Right. You don't need to have a male escort.
We just take ourselves out.
But first thing to do when you're sitting at a bar, make friends with the bartender. Your bartender is the connection to everyone in the room.
Yes.
Okay? So if you are friends with the bartender, and this can take a few times, like 2-3 visits or something, you know, start chatting. Ways to start conversation with the bartender very easy. Like, oh, what drink is this? Like, is this hard to make? You know, very simple things. He will be your in to everyone at that fucking bar.
So true.
When you're at a bar, there's other people that are regulars too.
Yes.
Repeat business. I always say love is just luck and location.
Yeah.
But your bartender is truly your matchmaker.
So true.
Talk to the bartender. Let's say the bartender's, you're not getting along with him or something. You see a guy at the end of the table. Eyes.
Yeah. Lock that. Yeah.
Like, if you can make eye contact with someone for 3 seconds, you can know if they like you or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I went like, you need the corneas popping out.
Yeah.
Like they need to really be popping.
Needs to be giving cornea.
It's giving cornea.
You read the energy very quickly.
So I always do this. Like I was at a bar last week and I was sitting there. I was wearing an outfit that was really bold though. So that's another tip. I think wear something that like is a conversation starter or makes you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So he sent me a drink. And I was like, okay, he's ugly.
but I will drink this. Yeah, I will
drink this drink. I chatted because I was trying to get research about why he ordered me that drink.
Genius.
Because, I mean, here, I'm on the ground. So I'm researching for the girlies, too. Yeah. Because I didn't make
eye contact. I love
like, this isn't about me. This is for a bigger cause.
I'm I'm a daddy anthropologist.
Yeah.
Like, she's on the ground.
Yeah.
So we chat, and I can tell in 10 seconds, like, if someone likes me by, like, what he was saying, right? Mm-hmm. He was like, oh, he wants to know about me.
Yeah.
So the biggest flirting tip, just talk about yourself. Yeah. Like, in a way that makes sense and relate it back to them. So, like, the guy that ordered me the drink, he was like, wow, I loved your jacket. It's, like, so great. And I'm like, thank you. Are you in fashion?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So parlay, like, charisma is all about just, like, shooting the shit and not be, like, people find you interesting if you listen to them. Mm-hmm. Everybody just wants to talk about themselves. So share enough about yourself and relate it back to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's almost like tennis of the minds. Like, you want that. But if you're at a bar and you haven't gotten to that conversation stage yet, smile at them. If they, like, look repulsed, like, they're literally like, ugh.
Yeah.
So if you're shooting your shot, you make eye contact with them, they look repulsed or they turn the other way or look at their phone immediately, it's over.
Yeah.
They don't, they're not into it. But that's okay because there's another million people in the bar.
Yeah.
So I would move locations.
Yeah. And we move.
And we move. That's what I love about New York. There's always another bar and always another man.
Yeah, so, literally next door.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So once, if he smiles though, you both lock eyes, smile at each other. Typically, they'll move to you.
Yeah, but
it, don't be afraid to move to them.
Mm-hmm. See, that's where I struggle. Like, I'm just, if a guy approaches me, I'm good. But, like, I'm just so awkward about, like, making that first move with a guy. So I don't know why.
Don't be afraid to ask stupid ass questions. So, like, if I see a guy at a coffee shop reading a book, I'll just be like, oh, wow, like, who wrote that?
Like, yeah, like, it says it, like, right on the cover. Yeah. You're just like, nah, I didn't see that.
Don't be afraid to, like,
they're like, do you like to read? You're like, no.
Never read in my life. Or it's like, what are you drinking? These simple things that just start the conversation and you can gauge if they're into you. Because even if it's a stupid opener, you can recover.
Yeah, yes. Oh, so true.
You just want to get the ball rolling to see if they like you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And once they do, the conversation will either go up or down. There's no soft landing. You're either flying the plane or it crashes.
You
gotta be able to move on. Okay. So true. And it's also about you learning to, like, almost expose yourself to what you're afraid of so that it's easier.
Yeah.
Like, now I don't care, like, if, like, I flirt with a lot of celebrities when I'm out, and, like, there's been a few, like, really crazy names
moments that I've partied with.
He definitely had style at a club, right? And from all the, like, guys that I didn't like that I, like, flirted with at the bar, it made me, like, when I finally met someone that I was like, damn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just treated them the same.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? That's smart.
Because it's almost like you have to know that no matter who you're talking to, they're lucky to talk to you.
Yeah.
And that's why flirting, once you're not afraid, it's less of, like, being scared of rejection and being excited to, like, find out.
Yeah. That's, you know what? That's so great that you say that. That was turning things that, like, what's the word? The things that stress you out are the things that make you afraid and turn them into excitement. My life coach was telling me that too, because I remember she tied it back, nothing to do with dating, but she tied it back to, I was, like, doing a photo shoot and I was, like, so stressed out about it. And I had such high anxiety if it was, like, going to go well and everything. And she was like, instead of being like, oh my God, is this going to go well? And blah, 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 be like, I'm excited to see the outcome, like, turning it into excitement. So
that's how I got through my breakup, because I was, like, so devastated, but then I was like, no, I'm turning this into, I'm so excited to, like, to meet my comes, person and see what kind of comes my way. So it is a good mindset to have, for sure.
100%. Okay, so you do dating, relationship and confidence consulting. I saw that on your website. So say that, like, we were struggling in our dating life, or somebody's struggling in their dating life. What does, like, a general consultation look like with you? Like, brand new client, like, they come to you and they're like, hey, my dating life sucks. Like, what's your kind of, do you have, like, a spiel that you give them? Do you have, like, some bullet points that you're trying to hit? Like, what would it look like? if I, you know.
Yeah. So I actually have a dating diary that I give to every client, and it's a journal for them to log all of their insecurities, their first date experiences. I call it like the first date assessment. So after you go on the first date or like you see someone, you have to fill out how you felt about it. Did you feel insecure? Did you feel confident? It's almost like an assessment of like how and what you're struggling with on a date.
Okay.
I also, in that book, there's a zero tolerance list, there's a confidence code, and a confidence calculator.
Okay, are all of those?
Wait, I'm obsessed.
Yeah. So the zero tolerance list is something that's really important. I think no matter where you are in your relationship or dating life, it's the things that you will never be okay with someone in a partner being.
Okay.
Or treating you as. So this is almost like being Bob the Builder for your confidence. Like these are the things, like for me, if a guy insults me, comments on my weight, like stuff like that.
Nope.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, it can be macro things or even something as small as like, I don't like it when I have to pay for dinner.
Yeah.
You know, because when you're deciding what your dating life is going to be, don't listen to the rules, listen to yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what I do is like, I pull out what they already know.
Okay.
So it's like, but sometimes they might be embarrassed to say, or they might like, you know, if you want kids, you shouldn't have to date someone that doesn't want kids.
Yeah.
Because that's settling.
Yeah.
So the zero tolerance list is like building your standards and having almost a blueprint for what you're okay with and what you're not okay with dating.
Okay.
And then the confidence code is where we really go through how your previous relationships have made you feel when it comes to your confidence, things that are actively making you insecure, and almost your relationship with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The most important thing is, how do you view yourself as a person? The value, that's what the confidence calculator is. It's like, it's you understanding your value.
Mm-hmm.
Because no matter how beautiful you are or rich or all these different factors, if you don't view yourself as the ultimate person that's deserving of love, you're never gonna get what you truly want.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
there's the difference between getting in a relationship and finding your person, finding your partner. So a lot of the matchmakers and dating coaches will be like, I can get you in a relationship in 5 days.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, so can I. Yeah, I can get myself in one in 5 days.
Exactly. But is it going to be one of quality?
Yeah. Like, it's quality over quantity. And it's also like realizing that being single isn't a disease. It's not a sickness. No. Like being who you are is going to be the same whether you're with someone or not.
Yeah.
Because if you have that same self-respect, that same admiration for who you are that's not contingent on anyone else, you'll bring that into the relationship.
Yep.
Because you see a lot of people, they get into a relationship and they turn into their partner. Or they like I've had friends that like, they hate football. Or they hate musicals. And they start dating someone and suddenly like, they're in Phantom of the Opera every night. You know, there's compromise, but there's also giving up pieces of yourself. So it's up for you to decide what you're willing to almost negotiate or what's an ultimate no-go.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Totally.
So tying this kind of into that, because you were saying like, you know, that you see people that turn into their partners and just like things that they're struggling with in general, like confidence and everything, and we'll touch on that. What do you see that people struggle the absolute most with, or like what are some like common like dating mistakes that people that you talk to are making?
Yeah, a few things, a lot.
I figure there's like, you know, the list goes on and on, but what are maybe like some of the top, you know?
The major is going to be fear of rejection.
Okay.
I think a lot of people, as soon as they find someone that kind of likes them or gives them maybe 50% of what they actually want, they'll do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like they want to go to Harvard, but like they see a guy that's like a community college and rather than being alone, they're enrolling, right? Yeah. So it's like, but what I focus on is like almost like delusional mentality, you know, because I don't think to get the life you want, even if it feels unrealistic, it can be your reality if you don't stop, if you don't settle too soon, you know. Yeah.
Being delusional is a good thing sometimes.
Yeah.
Because who's to say what you deserve other than yourself?
Right.
So other people might think you're delusional because you think that you can pull a certain type of person, but they don't know that, like, you know what you deserve.
Yeah.
No one's going to decide.
I think that's sexy, too.
You like, determine your own price tag.
Yeah.
You know, some people might, like, I always say, like, a lot of guys might think I look like a Stouffer's lasagna, but, like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I know I'm caviar. I'm not a fish fillet. Like,
you are caviar, bitch.
I'm caviar, you are that girl. I'm a fish fillet. Yeah. Like, you can't let other people tell you what you deserve. So that's a big thing.
Yeah.
But also to fight for your confidence, I think, is a big thing. A lot of people get into an idea about themselves. We really are the stories we tell ourselves.
Okay.
So if you say I'm bad at dating, or I'm bad at flirting, or I'm
I see where this is.
I could never be that girl. I could never wear this. I'm too ugly for him or them, or you know. I work a lot with helping my clients rewrite the stories of their dating life, rewrite who they view themselves as, which then gives them the confidence to go out and show what they truly are, which is a bad bitch.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like bad bitch boot camp. Like,
yeah. I love that. It's more that than it is about the dating.
Yeah. It's, like, it's really, at the end of the day, like all the dating aside, people come and go, relationships end, they start, but I hope that all of my clients leave working with me knowing their worth. And that other things come and go, but owning who you are, owning your individuality, and feeling like a bad bitch no matter who comes in and out is going to stay the same.
The better you feel about yourself, the dating is just automatically going to go better.
Yeah, because if you're in a solid relationship with yourself, you're dating out of desire and not desperation.
Yes.
You're dating because you want to.
So even if it doesn't go well, you're going to be okay because you're in a much better place. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. And I think like even like for me, a big thing about confidence that people struggle with is like, a lot of people struggle with how they look.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people really don't feel like they're pretty enough or stuff like that. So a big confidence tip that I show and try to live myself is like almost aiming to get your confidence in different content buckets, like confidence buckets. Like on the days that I feel ugly, I know that like reading, I don't know, like Jay Shetty or like going to a workout class or doing things like find your confidence in other things. Like, I'm sure you get a lot of confidence from throwing, like having such a great podcast, right?
Yeah. Humor is a big one. That, that always like say, when I'm not feeling confident about myself, I'm always like, I'm the funniest girl in the room.
Right. Like, crack a few jokes. Like,
And to compare us to despair, and that's a big one that I have to work on with a lot of my clients is like, they could be feeling really confident and good about themselves. And then they do see someone online. They're like, I could never be her.
Honestly, I actually find that I kind of struggle with that a lot because I'll like, I feel like I went in waves where when I was younger, I struggled with it a little bit. And then I, you know, got into, you know, like college, I guess. And I was like, like, fuck the Explore page. Don't care. Whatever. Blah, blah, blah. I don't know what has been up with me, but I've had this like for like a year now. I've just been like extra anxiety ridden. I don't know why. And it's been making me like, can't stop looking at the girlies on the Explore page. And I'm like, makes me like,
you have to feel that.
It makes me so frustrated because I'm like, these like girls, like that, like, you know, no shame in the game. Like, they are beautiful. They're working it amazing. And then I'm like looking at myself and I'm like, but I don't look like that. But also I'm like, I don't know if I want to look like that. Because like, a lot, like, you know, they're beautiful, but a lot of them look the same. And I'm like, you know, so I like tend to struggle with that like so much. It's like, oh, it sucks.
I totally relate. And I feel like I learned this the hard way from always being perceived as the ugliest in the room, that I always told myself, I might not be the hottest in the room, but I will be the most iconic.
Yeah, yes. That's like, exactly. Yes. And like Lily said too, like our thing with like that's humor and everything.
That's the best mentality.
That's why I always
because
say
you like, define it.
Yeah, because I'm like, like a girl could like, you know, all women are beautiful and a girl could look prettier than me.
It's a delicate conversation.
I know. I'm like trying to be like supporting
woke,
girls, but also be like, oh my god, like, you know. But it's like, you know, someone could be prettier than me or whatever, but I do always, that is the one thing that I use is I'm like, I will always be the funniest bitch. I am confident on that. Like,
so bring that confidence into all the other aspects. Because it's like, I know no matter what, if I lose 100 pounds, dye my hair blonde, I'll never look like Alex Earle. She's beautiful. I love everything she does.
She's beautiful, but she's not every guy's type. I think girls think that every guy wants that. Like, guys have very niche types, like, as do I, but like guys have very niche types as well. Like,
that's going back to the original point that we talked about, how no person, no guy, girl, any gender, any sexuality thinks the same.
Yeah.
There's no one type for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
If you had 100 guys in this room, some people would rate us as a 2. Some people would rate us as a 5. Some people rate us as a 10. So rather than going to your Explore page to find what is the quote unquote most beautiful version, explore what you think is beautiful about yourself.
Yeah.
So go inward instead of outward.
Yeah.
Because if you're trying to be something for other people or to fit into any standards, you'll always lose.
Yeah.
Because there's no one way to be beautiful. There's no one way to look. Yeah, there's societal standards that we've been brainwashed to think that, like, is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not trying to sell out Madison Square Garden with dick.
Yeah.
You need to find your person.
Yeah.
You don't need a million people to like you. Yeah. You need to like yourself and have someone that wants you for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to find it if you change yourself to fit every aesthetic on the For You page.
Yeah.
My ex was the type of guy that like, and now when I meet a new guy, sometimes the question I'll ask is like, who's like your celebrity crush? And because you can tell a lot about a guy's taste and kind of what kind of guy he is based on the girl he says. And I know my ex used to follow like Madison Beer, Alex Earl, like those kind of looking girls, which are gorgeous queens. But like, I don't look like that. I would be more like put in the category with like a Jennifer Lawrence or like something like that, like a funny girl. Yep. But so you can tell a lot about a guy by like the types of girls he follows and like what his type is and like his celebrity crushes. And if he's naming all these girls, where you're like, why the fuck are you on a date with me then? Like, what the fuck, you know?
But be on a date with you because they might have it on the outside, but they might not have what you have
right,
on the inside.
Right.
Yeah.
So what you're saying, yeah.
And, you know, I think like the biggest piece of advice that I give to all my clients and to myself too, you don't want to be anyone's type. You want to be you. So
yeah.
I don't know, like, for me, I want someone to fall in love with me because I'm Tiff, yeah. Not because I'm a brunette or not because I live in New York.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, because of exactly.
If you take off everything about me, if I'm standing naked in the middle of an island, would they still want me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cut the bullshit. Do they like you for you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know what's
yeah.
funny is I actually, so I was on a long flight the other day and I never delete anything from my camera roll. And I was like, girl, like I need to clear some of this shit out. I have so much random shit. So I'm going through and I'm clearing things out and I had screenshots of like cute messages from when me and my boyfriend like just started like dating and everything. And one thing that I like read in the messages that I was like, oh my God, this like kind of like says a lot, is my boyfriend made a comment to me like right before we started dating and he said that he was addicted to my personality. He was like, you are so gorgeous, but I don't know what it is. He goes, I love talking to you. I am just addicted to like the conversations we have and your personality type. And that just made me feel so fucking good about yeah. myself because I was like, I'm doing something right.
The exterior like, has the least to do yeah. with the relationship.
Yeah,
really.
it's like obviously like, you know, pretty in your
you
own
ways. You have
to
be attracted to them. But so, like,
yeah like, exactly.
You know, I worked with a few other matchmakers in my career, which they had very linear ideas, yeah. which is to get a high, quote unquote, high value guy, which if you're hearing that, just keep scrolling because yeah. typically they don't know what the fuck they're talking
yeah.
about. I don't know if there is a high value guy.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, they always are telling the women to change and not the man. If yeah. you want to date an Andrew Tate, listen to them. But,
yeah, yeah.
But at the end of the day, your looks change, things come and go. I'm not here to say that looks don't matter because, like, I'm going to take a shower.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to put on makeup.
Yeah.
But when it's a bigger point. You yeah. know, you want to feel good in what you have. You want like, mm-hmm. and look, I got Botox a few days ago.
Slay.
But it's because I want to.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, when you're going through these questions about like, when that guy's saying that about you, like
yeah.
It's personal. It's yeah. about you. He's not like.
Exactly. That's why it felt so good. Because I was like, this is just like, you know, I feel like it was different, like of him being like, you're pretty versus like, I like love like who you are. Mm-hmm. It just felt like so good.
And
so.
That should be the baseline.
Yeah.
That's not the exception, you know? And I think like, that's what we don't hear enough about from other dating coaches is like, it's all about how to get somewhere and not how to actually find yourself and find love at the same time,
mm-hmm.
because it is possible. And if you start to feel so comfortable and confident just being who you are, which is a journey and it's not linear, mm-hmm. but you're building all the blocks to being you and you know your values, you know what you stand for, and you're unapologetic about it, you're gonna have a billion people that don't like you.
Yeah.
But you're also gonna have people that do like you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at the end of the day, like, are you gonna let other people stop you from your life or the love life you want? Mm-hmm. You know, like you see this all the time where it's like, why is that guy with that girl? Or why is that girl with that, you know?
I hate
that. When people say yeah. that.
I hate
bullshit.
When people
I really
say
do.
That. Bullshit. It's so rude. It's so like, rude. Because they like them. Like, yeah. What do you mean? Why? Like,
it shows how, like, these concepts of beauty standards have been embedded.
I know.
In
yeah.
And that's, again, going back to, like, that's what's so cool about TikTok. Because, like, I feel like for me and the work I do, I hope everyone finds the rich eligible bachelor of their dreams, but the biggest thing that I want everyone to leave with is that, like, they are the person of their own dreams.
Yeah.
And that, like, no matter what you look like, no matter where you came from or what you started from, you can find your value on this earth. You mm-hmm. can find someone that loves you the way that you deserve. But it will take you loving yourself first.
Yeah, 100%.
Wow. Beautifully spoken. What Dude, a fucking I, way to leave wrap today.
I feel amazing.
I feel like, liberated.
No man is like, ever fucking with me again.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. All right. Toxic confession. And listen, guys, this girl sent in a one-liner. It's literally like a few words. Like, it's not even
but
like
it does
a real,
the trick.
It does the trick, because I feel like this episode was just so insightful anyways that we don't really need like a full-length toxic confession of the week. But I like the simplicity of this mm-hmm. one because it leaves a lot to think about. This girl just goes, toxic confession, I'm moving in with my situationship.
No.
That's all. Foul. Kisses. Love you guys.
Are you looking for a partner or a roommate?
Yeah, like I'm moving in with my situationship.
The fact that she's calling it a situationship.
The fact that she's well aware that she's like, this
moving in together isn't going to be the thing that really, you're not now going to make it official. Like,
No.
I mean, honestly, rent's expensive in New York, girly. Do what you got
to
do.
Yeah, do what you need to do. But like, I feel
is
like,
he going to bring over his other situations?
Yeah.
Yeah, like what?
Well, are the other situations in the room with us?
Are we signing a lease? Like, are we locked in? Like,
what do you mean you're moving in with your situation?
Wow. That's a choice.
That's a choice. But like, I would just recommend have clear boundaries.
Yeah.
Like, you know, rules of conduct in the household. Like,
don't
do the
sign
dishes.
A lease. Yeah.
Don't fuck someone while I'm home.
Yeah.
I wish I saw this like before we started recording. I would have DM'd her and been like, could I have a little more contact?
I need
more. Listening to this right now and you know who you are, shoot us a message. Give us more context. Maybe we'll give an update.
But also, don't settle for a situationship if you want a relationship.
Yeah.
Like, babe,
yeah, what do you
find,
want?
Yeah, if you want a situationship,
yeah,
go for Slay. It, girly. Move in. Like, I'm rooting for you. But if you want a relationship, living with your situationship is going to make your life a living hell.
No, yeah. Awful. So, have you seen those TikToks that are like, my like 2 month situationship fucked me up way more than like my 4 year relationship.
Those, yeah.
It's so true.
No, if someone doesn't know if they want you off the bat, they don't get to be around you.
Yeah.
So I don't believe in situationships.
Yep. No, me either.
Unless you want to just hook up and have a roster, that's fine.
Yeah.
But if you're in a situationship against your own will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you want it to be
get
more,
out.
But they
yeah.
don't.
Yeah.
Run, babe.
It's
run.
Not it.
Don't sign the lease. Get out.
Yeah. Period.
All right. So that's it. For this episode, what a fucking insightful episode. I felt like this is a really good one.
I had
one.
So much fun.
Yeah,
I feel
like
that was
I'm gonna
awesome
be like,
too.
I'm gonna be editing this and like hearing the information again, and I'm gonna be like, oh my God. Like,
yeah.
You know, some it's just one of those episodes. But Tiff, please plug yourself, whatever information, where the people can find you, let them know everything.
Yes. You know? You can find me flirting with your dad. You can,
in the DMs.
In the DMs.
Right. You can probably
if you're
find
single,
me there.
find me in your dad's DMs.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's on Instagram and TikTok. It's Tiff, T-I-F-F, Baira, B-A-I-R-A. I have a lot of exciting projects coming out, including my new show, Street Hearts. You can find that at Street Hearts NYC. If you're single, come on the show. You can put in an application.
Your outfits have been slaying in that show, too, by the way. I love the red, like, get up. Like, I'm obsessed.
Oh, yes, Cupid. I did see that.
I'm in my Cupid era.
I'm obsessed.
I always say, like, you might not have a good relationship, but you can always have a good outfit.
Period.
So,
100%.
I live by that.
But thank you all so much for having me.
Of course.
I'm, like, so honored to be on here.
Yeah, well, we're besties now.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You're getting a drink.
We're gonna
find rich eligible bachelors together.
Yeah, we will.
100%. All right, so that's all for this week, guys. Make sure to go follow us at Gin Toxic Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Make sure to shoot us a DM. What is the most toxic thing you've ever done?
We must know.
Make it good, and it might be on the show. And yeah, that's about it.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye, bitch.
Bitch, you are amazing.
That was fucking.